I'm not here asking for directions. I seek a guide, and two travel more safely than one. He looked me up and down, and I waited for the joke about my size. But he did not make it, and for that I was grateful. He just said, "When we reach the cave, I will not go inside. You must bring out the gold yourself. You can only take what you carry. I will not touch it, but yes, I will take you." I said, "You will be well paid for your trouble." I reached into my jerkin, handed him the pouch I had in there. "This for taking me, another twice the size when we return."
Presenting a synchronized multimedia storytelling event, Neil Gaiman will be reading his story, The Truth is a Cave in the Black Mountains, with illustrations provided by renowned artist Eddie Campbell, with a live underscore by the Four-Play String Quartet at Carnegie Hall on Friday, June 27th at 8 o'clock. The story has been published by William Morrow, and it was originally commissioned by the Sydney Opera House for its Graphic Festival. Neil Gaiman is a best-selling writer, his work spanning from the Sandman comics to award-winning novels and major feature films, and of course is a visiting professor at Bard, and it is a great pleasure to welcome Neil Gaiman back to the roundtable. Very nice to have you here.
Thank you for having me, Joe.
Congratulations. You have a lot coming out at once, don't you?
I do. And I think authors are like buses, or at least I am. It feels like I don't do anything for a long time, and then everything that I've been doing comes out at once. So right now, today is the publication day of this beautiful Truth is a Cave in the Black Mountains book. And Eddie Campbell has made it into something that isn't a graphic novel. It's a book with pictures, but it's just amazing. It's the publication date of a book called Rogues, which is edited by George R. R. Martin and has lots of short stories by lots of people, but it has my first Neverwhere short story set in the world of Neverwhere. The first thing I've written set there for 17 years, and that's coming out. And now I'm just about to start this very, very small world tour. It goes from San Francisco to the Carnegie Hall to London to the Barbican Center and then up to Edinburgh.
What is it like to see this project? Because this started just as a short story, right? And then evolved into this production.
It's mostly fun, I think, because it wasn't planned. I'd finished writing a short story that would take me about an hour and 10 minutes to read. And I finished it about a week before I got a phone call from the Sydney Opera House asking if I would like the stage of the Sydney Opera House for this festival they were doing. And I could do anything I wanted, but perhaps I could read a short story and they would find a musical entity to work with me and an artistic entity to work with me. And I immediately thought of Eddie Campbell, who is a Scottish artist, but he lives in Australia and he's been a friend of mine for years, and so Eddie was easy. The music was harder, and that was actually suggested by the Sydney Opera House. They put me in touch with the Four-Play String Quartet, and I knew that I liked them when the first things of theirs that I played were them covering the Simpsons theme and the Doctor Who theme. And I thought, I like their sensibility. And then they could do classical stuff. They were doing songs like Cry Me a River. And there they were also just doing weird pop culture. What they created was a soundscape. And it was amazing for me, looking out at an audience of 2,000 people, going, it's probably been 30 or 40 years since most of these people actually sat and were read a story.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're giving them more than a story. We're giving them images, we're giving them music, and it's as if we're forcing them all to make movies in their heads.
It's a wonderful choice because the musical element, Four-Play, it is a string quartet, but it has a rock band quality to it.
They are not scared of improvising. and they're not scared of being imaginative. At least one member of 4Play is, I believe, Australia's leading bungee jumping violinist. He plays the violin while leaping off bridges and things attached to large rubber cords. Watching them and working with them has just been such a delight, because I'll say, why don't we do this? And they go, yes. And it's, even if it's mad, they'll do it. And they just have so much enthusiasm and so much technique. There's a point in the story, The Truth is a Cave in the Black Mountains, where they reach the seashore. And suddenly, it's as if you're listening to the cries of seabirds, of distant seagulls, and you're just going, this is amazing. I look over, and I can just see them doing it on their bows. I don't know how they do it, but they do it.
Did the process come about by you reading aloud and them improvising that?
I sent them the story. They worked up some music. I went to Australia a couple of days before we were due to be on stage, and we set up in a rehearsal room and started doing it. And we did it all the way through once, and then at the end of it, I had notes, and there were things like, I think that maybe, you know, the end should be more downbeat and then go upbeat once it's finished. And they would have notes for me like, can you shut up in this point and just let us play for 35 seconds and not say anything? And I go, okay, yes, I can. So there was a lot of to-ing and fro-ing. Meanwhile, Eddie Campbell had, at that point, about 15 paintings, and we were figuring out how and when, at what point, those 15 paintings would go up. So that was part of the rehearsal process, too.
The story itself for The Truth is a Cave in the Black Mountains is ultimately a search for hidden treasure.
Well, I think it's initially a search for hidden treasure. It's ultimately about a number of things that are much darker than that. It was really fun, because I loved the idea of building in a story. I always love making things that can be reread.
Right.
So I loved the idea of writing a story in which all cards are laid on the table at the beginning, but you don't see them because you don't know what they are. And you read through to the end, and when you get to the end, the ending was inevitable. The place that you get to at the end of that story is obviously the place that it was going to go, but you didn't read that. And now if you go back and start again at the beginning, the story of a dwarf and a reaver in 17th century Jacobite Scotland, heading off to a cave in the Black Mountains on the Misty Isle, where it's said that there is gold. That story, I hope, has resonance and has strangeness and has power.
Would you mind reading a little?
Of course.
From the new book.
This is from a little bit from about halfway through. I woke in the night. There was cold steel against my throat, the flat of the blade, not the edge. I said, "And why would you ever kill me in the night, Callum McInnes? For our way is long, and our journey is not yet over." He said, "I do not trust you, dwarf." "It is not me you must trust," I told him, "but those that I serve. And if you left with me but return without me, there are those who will know the name of Callum McInnes and cause it to be spoken in the shadows." The cold blade remained at my throat. He said, "How did you get ahead of me?" "And here was I repaying ill with good, for I made you food and a fire. I am a hard man to lose, Callum McInnes, and it ill becomes a guide to do as you did today. Now take your dirk from my throat and let me sleep." He said nothing, but after a few moments the blade was removed. I forced myself neither to sigh nor to breathe, hoping he could not hear my heart pounding in my chest, and I slept no more that night.
Neil Gaiman reading from The Truth is a Cave in the Black Mountains. How did you come up with the, as you call it, that the darkness of it, that idea of what it can do to your soul.
I have a house on the Isle of Skye, and it's one of my favorite places in the world. It's very bleak and very lonely up there. And I go up there to write. I go to Skye because nobody is around. Everybody leaves me alone. But I also read a lot of books while I'm up there on the history, on the legends of Skye. And a lady named Otta F. Swire, in one of her books of the myths and legends of Skye or of the Hebrides, just mentions that it's said that there was a cave in the Coolin Mountains, the Black Mountains of Skye. And in that cave, there was gold. And you could take the gold. And there was nothing complicated, nothing fancy. You didn't have to fight some kind of mystic guardian for it. But if you took that gold from that cave, you'd get a little bit more evil. You'd lose a little bit of your soul. And that I just found haunting. I've never run into anything like that. And I've read a lot of myths and a lot of legends, but that seemed peculiar and unique. The idea that they're actually saying, yes, you can do this. It's there for you. But you'll not be the same person you were before you took that gold. And that darkness and that morality seemed to infuse everything that I wanted to do in the story. I wanted to talk about what makes us ourselves, about the dark things that you can do and still be yourself.
It is interesting hearing of all of this work that you're doing, because on top of it all, you are also, as I mentioned in the introduction, a professor at Bard, so you are a local academic. How is that going?
I'm loving it. There are all these sort of glorious extracurricular things I'm getting to do right now. Being a professor at Bard is so far run sort of joint favorite with getting to do stuff for the United Nations High Commission on Refugees, the refugee agency. And I got to go out to Jordan for them and visit Syrian refugee camps. And
you just tweeted that you were at a camp a few weeks ago.
I was, and I got to write a big article about it for The Guardian. So those two things right now are definitely filling my soul. I'm going, there are things when you reach my age, I suppose, and you've got a certain amount of success in what you do, certainly more than I ever thought I would have when I started out as a writer. And then you go, good, well, how do I give back? And for me, teaching at Bard is just a wonderful way of giving back and sneakily of learning stuff, because I get to listen to the students and they are so much smarter than I am.
Neil Gaiman and The Truth is a Cave in the Black Mountains production and storytelling event will be at Carnegie Hall on Friday, June 27th at 8 o'clock. William Morrow has also just published a beautiful edition of the book with illustrations by Eddie Campbell. The Truth is a Cave in the Black Mountains, a Tale of Travel and Darkness with Pictures of All Kinds. It's published by Morrow. Neil Gaiman, always a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you so much, Jeff.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.